When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say, kids, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
And when I throw it to you and you go, I don't have a...
Ew.
Jeff Lutz.
There you go again with the fake voice when you have nothing to say.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready?
Stand by for action.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio as we end the week. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz here to co-host. Max Power is our producer and our engineer back in the studio. We got a lot to talk about today with conference championship games in the NFL, some big college basketball, high school boys tournaments, and a few girls, but mostly boys, all across the state of Kansas, including what is historically the Dodge City Tournament of Champions has been around for a long, long time.
Sure has.
I'll bet they've never had four undefeated teams in the semifinals.
Is that what we got going right now?
That is what we
have. Derby Heights.
Derby's playing Junction City this evening, and Heights is playing Kansas City Piper.
They're all undefeated.
That's what I just said. So, yeah.
Dude, have you ever had a conversation with someone before?
No, but when you're reiterating what I've just stated as a fact.
So, no, you haven't. Okay, then we can move on.
I've never understood. There's a battle of unbeatens in the Dodge City tournament tonight. Two games involving only unbeaten teams. So these are unbeaten teams?
No, I didn't. That's not how that went.
How did it go?
It was a conversational piece. It was, how about that? They're all undefeated. I was kind of going along with you there.
Well,
I was along for the ride, and you said, nope, we're crashing this thing into the ocean.
I guess I didn't pick that up. It felt like you were reiterating what I just said.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Or questioning what I just said, or whatever. Doing whatever to something I just said. But my point being, I don't know how long they've played the Dodge City Tournament of Champions. For as long as I can remember, at least 50 years, 60, I don't know. I'd love to know that. We'll ask Joanna Chadwick.
I'm sure we can find it online
a little bit later. But that's pretty remarkable to have four unbeatens in the tournament overall, let alone playing in the semifinals.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
And
if I didn't have something going on tomorrow, I would be very tempted to go out and watch Derby and Heights.
If they play.
No, that's what. Oh boy, are we going to repeat the first statement?
Of course,
I would only go if they played.
But you didn't say that. You said if I didn't have something going on, and if they played.
Yeah, and if they played,
so,
if being the key word.
You didn't
word.
Say that.
No, I did say that.
No, you said if I didn't have something
I
going on.
I implied it.
82nd Annual Tournament of Champions. 1944 was the first.
So I wonder if they have that information.
What do you mean?
Is this the first time four unbeatens have met in the semis?
I'm sure it probably is. Maybe. I would assume so. They used to have, though, where it wasn't just all big class teams. You get a couple 1A teams
right.
in there.
Well, not always a couple. Usually just one.
Right, but you'd get smaller.
But then you'd get a 3A and a 1A and a 4A, and you'd have it kind of all over the place. There's one tournament that still kind of does that. I saw, I can't remember who it is.
I don't know. I wish the tournament.
The one Mays is in. They're the 6A team. And then there's a 1A team in that tournament as well.
Interesting.
And I can't remember where Mays is playing.
Well, we'll find it. I thought they usually played at McPherson, but I guess that's not the case this year.
But, yeah, I love those. I used to love going out to Dodge City and seeing those, that one 1A team, because it was always the defending state champion in 1A, or at least most of the time.
Yeah, I think South Gray was there for the year I went.
Well, there's been a bunch of them.
Well, I'm just telling you the one that I was there
for. South Gray probably won the state championship the previous year.
It very well could be.
So where's Mays?
Mays is in the Valley Center January Jam.
Well, that's the one that has that's the one that's interesting.
No. They have Topeka Seaman, Olathe Northwest, Garden City, Valley Center, Newton, Blue Valley, and Northwest. Valley beat Northwest.
I thought there was a 1A team there.
There is not.
Well, I said that.
I guess I could have had an opportunity to judge the slam dunk contest, but I did not take them up on it.
What do you mean you could have had an opportunity?
Well, they emailed Channel 12 and asked if any of us wanted to do it. So it wasn't like they... Well,
Spike usually reaches out to us, Spike Anderson, longtime Valley Center invitation, whatever they call it now, Valley Center guy.
Sure.
Valley Center guy. Always reaches out to us individually, or at least me.
I don't know if he's the guy anymore. Somebody else reached out last year when I did it.
I don't know.
Me and Ron Baker and Jason Duda and somebody else.
Is that where you made friends with Ron Baker?
I don't know. I just kind of assumed Ron and I were friends for a long time. It happened somewhere along the way.
Well,
might have been last year. But I don't know who they're going to get to judge if they're only sending out feelers on a Thursday for an event that's held Saturday. But good luck to them.
Well, they may have dropped the ball on that.
It's possible.
I've judged it a couple times. My days of doing that are probably at an end, but you never know. You never know.
Yeah, I'd rather judge. No offense to high school kids, but I'm going to see two or three dunks, like real dunks, in a high school dunk contest. Get me to a college or a pro one, and I'll certainly fulfill those duties.
Well, now you've just shot yourself in the foot. You'll never be invited again.
It's possible.
So good job.
Thank
you. But anyway, Joanna Chadwick is coming up in hour number two. We'll talk high school tournaments a little bit later in this hour. In fact, very shortly, in about 15 minutes or so, our KU insider, Jeff Geldner, a member of the 1988 National Championship Jayhawks, will be on with us as we talk about what's going to happen tomorrow evening at Allen Fieldhouse when Red Hot Houston. You got to kind of pause there.
Red Hot Houston.
Yeah, you didn't do it very well.
Oh, sorry.
Red Hot Houston. See what I mean?
Red Hot Houston.
You said Houston. It's Houston.
Red Hot Houston.
Red Hot Houston.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Comes to town. Bill Self, I want to ask Jeff Geldner about this quote from Bill Self, because I think it's accurate. I don't feel the student hype at the same level I've felt it in previous years. He is self, according to Matt Tate, I'm not being negative, and added that others have said the same. Quote, I'm hopeful that our energy level from a fan standpoint will be as good as it's been all year long tomorrow. That's interesting, because if KU's picking up on less fan excitement. Again, I think everything points back to the transfer portal, NIL, the detachment of fans.
I don't know if it's NIL, but it's definitely the transfer portal.
It's some of it's NIL. Like fans feeling like, okay, I guess we got to pay for our team this year.
Well, students don't care about that. They just want to watch a winner. But if you don't know any of the players, then it's...
Wait till they start raising student fees to pay for NIL. Then you'll think they don't care about it.
They may already have, for all we know.
Well, have they done it at K-State? You've got a dollar.
I don't know what the fees are going on up there.
What's the kid doing?
I stay out of those conversations.
She's back at school this week. Everything going well?
Seems to be.
Do you have daily interaction with the youngster?
I wouldn't say daily, but, you know, we communicate every now and then.
Well, she's growing up, man.
She thinks she knows a lot of stuff, so I just let her thinks that she does.
Well, what 19-year-old doesn't?
And
Is she 19 yet?
No, she's 18.
Not till June. What 18-year-old doesn't?
I know, but still.
Oh, God.
You just want to grab them and shake them.
Really? You're saying that?
Well, I did know everything, and I still do. But she's a little different.
You know, I try to remember back to when I was 18, and I really don't think I...
You were. Everybody's the same.
I think I probably thought I knew everything, but I really didn't bug my parents about it because I was already kind of just taking care of myself.
Well, I don't think she's bugging her parents.
But you know what I mean.
Not necessarily, no.
I mean, I wasn't very dependent upon my parents by that time.
Well, I think that's
a roof over my head, obviously.
Well, that helps.
But I already had bought a car. I don't know. Times were different.
They sure were.
So I handled things. You hadn't bought a car when you were 18. You were still living at home when you were 18. You were still as dependent on me as you were at the age of two.
Nah, whatever.
Very little change.
See, I'm not. Nah, whatever. Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't like to revisit stuff. I'm not a.
Say what you were gonna say.
No, I'm just I'm just about it. Just kind of about being 18. I'm glad I'm not.
You're kind of about everything today, it seems like. Would that be an accurate statement?
Perhaps.
A lot of life going on right now.
We got some things going on, but a lot of moving parts, but they'll slow down and then we'll figure it out.
My guys are up finishing a bathroom project. And I basically had my home infiltrated by construction workers for about a month and a half, maybe close to 2 months in the last 4 months.
How long did the...
5.5 weeks.
The kitchen.
5.5 weeks.
They got that done ahead of schedule. Because didn't we say 7 weeks at the beginning, I think?
I thought it might be a little longer. But that's okay. It takes time to do this stuff.
Well, yeah. And your bathroom, it's going to be modern, I guess, in no time.
Well, I don't know about modern. It's going to be, we're going to get rid of the leakage that was happening.
Yeah, so it's going to be
With a brand new shower. And, look forward to it.
It's good stuff. I saw the backsplash, if that's what it's called.
No, that's not backsplash.
What is it?
It's a shower.
Well, what's the wall called? The wall? Doesn't it splash on there backwards? Splash
in a shower.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a wall around it.
I get it.
It's called an Onyx shower. It's a fairly new brand, but it's quite a process to get it installed. And, but man, it's sealed up as tight as you can imagine.
What are the benefits of an Onyx shower?
The seal. You don't ever have to worry about leakage or drainage or water damage. And, it's very, very nice.
Happy to hear it.
Are you really?
Yes.
Do you care? Do you ever give a thought?
Outside of from this show?
To what? My house looks like outside of this show.
No, I do not.
Why is that?
Why would I? Do you think about my house?
Sure I do. I want it to be good.
No, you don't. Why would you?
Of course I do. Here's the thing about being a parent. You're always hoping for the best for your kid. And when they have a house, you think about it. Is that house holding up well? When you built it, do I think you built the right kind of house?
Do you?
I would have gone a little bigger, but... That's just me.
Well, we didn't have that kind of money. And Shannon wanted to not wait, so we did it.
Well, it's a very nice house.
Yeah, we're happy with it.
I have no qualms with it. I like where it's located. I think the house is fine.
I like the house. It's a little ranch-style home out there.
And I always, I always had concern for my mother after my father died. Was she going to be able to stay in that house on North Baltimore? And she did for a while. But then she decided to move over to a care facility. It was independent living there in Derby. She wasn't in any kind of assisted living, and she absolutely loved it, and then died after about 4 months there, which was heartbreaking.
Of course.
And I felt bad for her because she'd found a place that she liked the people, the staff. She had a little studio apartment. Nice. Too bad.
Yeah,
didn't get to enjoy it for as long.
I don't remember ever visiting her over there.
Didn't get to enjoy it for as long as I'd hoped she would. But that's the way things go sometimes.
Yeah, it's sad.
It is sad. Makes me sad. All right, Max, let's take a break. We've got Jeff Geldner. We're going to talk to him about KU basketball. They are playing better. They have a group of newcomers, transfers, that it's taken a while to mesh. It's an interesting team. They have the powerful Houston Cougars coming in tomorrow for a 5:30 tip at Allen Fieldhouse. Jeff Geldner, our guest next.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, great song from Blues Image, but that was about it. Ride, Captain, Ride.
Good song.
One and done. The musical theme. Here's Jeff Geldner, our KU insider and a member of the 1988 Jayhawks National Championship team. Hello, Jeff.
How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. I want to start. Of course, we're going to talk about this big game coming up tomorrow at Allen Fieldhouse between Houston and the Jayhawks. I thought it was interesting in Bill Self's news conference today, he mentioned that he hasn't felt the same energy from the crowd this year. He's always an honest guy and tells it like he thinks it. But that one caught my attention. What do you think that's about?
Well, I think he's being honest and accurate. I've been to up to three or four games this year, and quite honestly, with the exception of the hype around the North Carolina game, the crowd stunk. Now, that's comparing it to other games. Let's, you got to be realistic and say, you know, it's still Allen Fieldhouse, so it's still a great crowd, but relative to the better crowds. But I also think that part of that is that this team has been a horrible first half team, and they don't get off to very good starts. And so they come out and they're down by four or down by six, and Bill's got to call a timeout, and the energy has left the building. So it's a two-way street. You know, the players have to bring it, and so do the fans. And generally, more often than not, both of those things happen.
Is this a team, or just KU in general, not necessarily this year's team, but is it immune to the fan exhaustion over the transfer portal? Allen Fieldhouse, obviously, everybody wants to be there. It's always a really great atmosphere. They have those things working for them. KU's also always good. But we know there's been some of that fatigue over the transfer portal. I don't know these players and, you know, who's coming and going. Does that exist with KU at all?
I don't know if it's so much, it's a great question, but I'm not so sure it's so much fatigue. It's just, you know, level of expectation. They just expect good things, great things. And they're also very good, very knowledgeable basketball fans. And they can see when something's just not right or the energy's not there because, you know, Bill talks about it and they've watched enough basketball to know the difference. But, you know, you still have on this team, you've got Juan and Hunter and KJ and, you know, so there's some familiar names, and then obviously, you know, Zeke Mayo being a local kid. So it's not like he brought in 10 new players. You know, this is the way of the world, so the fans better get used to it.
Jeff Geldner, our guest, we have spoken earlier in the show about the big showdown tomorrow. Houston undefeated, the only undefeated team left in Big 12 play, in Lawrence to face the Jayhawks at 5:30. Houston lost a few games early. We kind of maybe forgot about them to some degree, but here they are, one of the hottest teams in the country and playing defense like no other. It looks like the typical Houston team to me now. Do you agree, Jeff?
Yeah, I think when you say a typical Houston team, definitely a Kelvin Sampson-based team, and ironically when – you know, the Jayhawks were winning the big early games, that, you know, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, Houston was losing them. And to your point, they kind of fell out of the public eye, but they have, they've kind of embraced who and what they are. I think the Jayhawks at times have done that, but, you know, have been massively inconsistent. And nobody wants to be playing their best basketball in January. They wanted to be in March, but it's that time where you've got to start putting some things together and being a lot more consistent. And Houston definitely has been.
Does this feel like it's going to be a slugfest to you? KU has, of course, shown that it can score pretty well, but when they're really strong defensively, that's probably when they're at their best. So do you see this as a low-scoring game, or will KU maybe try to quicken the pace and make Houston a little more uncomfortable?
Well, I think it will be a low-scoring game. Question is, you know, will it be a slugfest? I think you can count on Houston showing up to that type of a game, and then we just have to see what, you know, what version of the Jayhawks we get. Now, there should be no excuses. You know, there, granted, KJ's not playing, and he's an incredible asset when it comes to the toughness part of things, but what can happen is they can't go out there with a West Virginia-type start to the game, or even the TCU first 10 minutes. Or, you know, not only will they be down 15, but you're just not going to come back from a 15-20-point deficit against Houston. You've got to answer the bell, and you've got to come out and obviously hope to make shots. But, you know, Houston's one of those teams where they rely a lot on second-chance opportunities and just playing volleyball around the rim, and everybody's going to have to play a part 1-5 to kind of keep that from happening.
Jeff Geldner with us, former KU player back in the golden era, as if KU has a golden era. It's all been golden. But they won the national championship in 1988. So of all these new guys, and there's a bunch of them, even though we have the familiar faces in Dickinson, Harris, and KJ Adams, of all these new guys, and maybe take Zeke Mayo out of the equation because he's kind of found his stride, who are the most important ones to lift Kansas into a serious national championship discussion area?
Well, I think it's very clear that it's Riley Griffin and AJ Storr. And I remember I even had this conversation with you guys on air a few years ago. Bill Self made the comment to me in 22 that I've got to get David McCormick going, and I've got to get I'm drawing a blank on the kid from ASU's name that transferred in. We've got to get him going. And sure enough, who picked up the pace late in the year in the NCAA tournament were those two guys. And I think you heard him in the, you know, his mini pressers. It's AJ's got to be AJ, and Ryland, they've got to be a factor on the court. They've got to get, in my opinion, 20 plus minutes of productive play out of both of those guys, because they're proven performers and the Jayhawks have struggled to score points. Now, they're going to win and lose. They're going to win more than they lose regardless, but to really reach their ceiling, those two guys have got to be the players that they'll self-recruit them to be.
Yeah, how do you think the offense will evolve over the course of the rest of the season? They haven't shot it well from three-point range at all, but that was kind of one of the focuses of the offseason going in. Do you think they still try to push that and shoot a lot of threes or shoot their fair share of threes, or is it more going to be just a Hunter Dickinson kind of thing?
Well, I think it's got to be, the answer to your question, yes. I think it's got to be all of that. I mean, obviously you want to get stops and you want to try to get fast break and numbers opportunities, 2-on-1, 3-on-2. You want to be able to execute a play and get a shot that you want in crunch time or when nobody is making shots, but you can't count on that against these well-coached athletic defensive teams. Sometimes guys just need to step up. My concern with this team is the same one that most fans have. When you've got Juan, KJ, and Hunter, let's face it, he's not been a very good three-point shooter comparative to the rest of his career since he's been a Jayhawk. And then you mix in a Shaq Moore who's not a shooter. There's not a lot of room in the paint to do anything, so it puts a lot of pressure on plays if you're not getting easy baskets. And so, I love KJ, I love Juan. You know, they're great Jayhawks, but at the same time, they're not shooters, and teams obviously are going to let them shoot the basketball. And if they're not making their shots, it can get really difficult to score, which puts more pressure on everything, defense, taking care of the basketball, the energy, the 50-50 balls. And these are the things that Jayhawks have struggled with, having consistency, and you've heard it in Bill Self's press conference.
Jeff Geldner is our guest. There's so much. I'm so intrigued by the whole college sports thing right now, but I want to ask you a question about do we miss freshmen? But first, I want to ask you this question. We look at the Big 12, 16 teams now. I think it looks right now like seven of them, six for sure, and Baylor looks like a possibility to get to the NCAA tournament. Has this been a good season for the Big 12 in basketball? Because there's a lot of teams down here at the bottom that are not factors right now.
Yeah, I don't think, now again, it's kind of like talking about Allen Fieldhouse when you talk about the Big 12, but it's been consistently year after year, inarguably the best basketball conference. This year it's the SEC, and deservedly so. What you always had with the Big 12, which there's still some of that today, is you had a couple of top five, top 10 teams, but that next pack was, and you know, you, there were years where 8 of 10 were legitimately NCAA tournament teams. And now you're talking about 7, maybe 8 out of 16. So from a national perspective, I don't think the conference has shown up. There's also a lot more parity, you know, because of the portal and everything that's going on, but that doesn't mean that these teams aren't dangerous, especially when they're playing at home. And you've got to take care of business at home regardless of who you're playing.
Jeff Geldner, our guest. So I mentioned briefly asking you about freshmen, and I miss freshmen. Just a couple years ago, we had Grady Dick from Wichita, and I thought he brought a level of excitement. Certainly not a finished product, but he's getting better and better for the Toronto Raptors in the NBA. Danny Manning, of course, one of the all-time great freshmen. How much do we miss freshmen? KU has had so many amazing freshmen throughout the years. Does that take away some of the interest level at all?
I don't know. I mean, there's a case to be made both ways, really. I mean, because in some ways, for a Jayhawk fan, Zeke Mayo is a freshman. So is Diggy. So is Ryland. So is AJ. They're new to the program, but they just have experience elsewhere. Now, the negative to that is Bill Self's got to break bad habits and try to teach his habits, and that doesn't always work. But, he's still out there grinding. But one of the things that's tough about freshmen is you just don't know what you're going to get. I mean, Bill mentioned it yesterday or earlier in the week. You recruit two. You hope one of them, you know, turns out to be a player, and the other one is, you know, maybe a four-year guy. Well, those days are done. There's no patience anymore for these players. They're going to go, whether it be to get paid or to get playing time, wherever they can go. But I think that what I don't like, and I think what a lot of fans don't like, is these 5 to 10 person just swap outs. It's like, here go all these guys, you know, a lot of names that people got to know, and here come 5 to 10 new guys. And that's what's really hard to follow and get behind. And but there's a lot of hype around this team. And Bill Self stood right there at late night and said, you're really going to love this roster. And the roster is there. It just hasn't performed up to the level of what the expectations been set so far. But there's still plenty of time left for it to do so.
Jeff, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for your insights about KU basketball. We'll catch up again soon.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Good luck. Rest of your show.
Thanks.
You bet. Jeff Geldner, our KU basketball insider. KU in Houston tomorrow. How did we pick that game? We all picked Houston, right?
I did. I don't know what everybody else did, or I don't really remember.
Yeah, we all picked Houston.
Interesting.
Not with a lot of confidence. And I'm not sure why. Well, I guess we just hold Allen Fieldhouse in such high regard.
Well,
right?
It's hard to pick KU to lose at home. I know they have already this year in a Big 12 game, but that's still not something you see too terribly often.
No, it's not. But this is a pretty good team.
I think Houston will win, but we'll see. KU wins games like this pretty often too, so you can't really put anything past them. Did we all pick Memphis? I mean, I'll pick WSU.
I picked WSU. Duda picked Memphis. Or Mac. Somebody picked Memphis.
Uh-oh.
Max, who'd you pick in that game? Max picked Memphis for 6. All right, we mentioned the Shockers losing last night at Memphis. They led most of the way. They brought plenty of effort. They didn't bring much shooting ability or ability to handle the basketball. But Memphis was even worse for a long stretch, with turnover after turnover, allowing the Shockers to have some hope. And then they got to the final 4 minutes plus and couldn't score. Hard to watch. No organization. No really good guard play. The things that we thought were going to get fixed this year aren't fixed. And it's frustrating. It's maddening.
It is frustrating. They hung in with Memphis, which...
Did you see how bad Memphis was?
I'm about to get to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Which, sounds good on paper, but Memphis was awful. That's where I was going with that. And I don't know. I don't know where would you... I mean,
their crowd was bad. No energy.
Would you be real excited rooting for that team, though? I know they really harped on it during the broadcast about the bench doesn't have energy. So maybe I'm just biased of thinking because they said it so often. But that team should be so good. They have so many good players. And I will just ho-hum it and win 52-44, whatever it was.
Well, they're not well coached. They keep hanging on to Penny because Penny has the city of Memphis.
They're
in the
so badly coached. I mean, it's so, you just tune into a game for 5 minutes. It's like, has this team ever been coached? I think I could have done a better job with that club.
It's tough to watch Memphis. That's why this conference bugs the heck out of me. Because Wichita State should be competing at the top of this conference. It wouldn't take that much, and they just can't get there. They can't figure it out. They went deep into the transfer portal for all these people who we were told, oh, we got our point guard, we got our shooter. They don't have any. They don't have any of that.
No, and Justin Hill looked amazing in his first game, and you know, so he got a little rope after that. But I don't know. What have you seen from him really?
AJ McGinnis, what he was the heir apparent to Colby Rogers. Come on, no. Now Corey Washington's been pretty good, although last night he was just okay. Quincy Ballard, give that guy some love.
He's been great.
But he only got four shots last night. You see, he's like shooting almost 80% for the year.
Not a surprise.
Can you try to figure out a way to get him a little more involved? I know he's a lot of these shots are putbacks and offensive rebounds, and I get that. Maybe a little more involved. Can he learn some moves?
Can he play back to the basket?
Well, why can't he?
Can he shoot a 12-footer every now and then?
Some free throws. Why can't he?
I don't know. I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing, and it would be interesting to see if he did have a couple more elements to his game.
Try it?
But they're not affording him that opportunity, and I don't know if that means they're missing it or that they've seen something that says maybe he couldn't handle that. I don't know. But they're.
By my previous feelings about Memphis. The biggest pretender in college basketball is Memphis.
But they beat some good teams in the non-conference.
I'm starting to think December doesn't matter.
Well, they play poorly in January, from all indications.
I don't know.
1 month really matters.
You know, the Shockers got this good record, but against nobody, and they need to. I got so many things I could say.
Their record isn't that good. What are they, 11-8 now?
No, I'm talking about they had a good record, but they didn't beat anybody. And if Wichita State is really going to try to make advancement, they need to beef up their non-conference schedule. Get beat a few times, who cares? Go play Duke.
I don't know.
I know they played Florida in a tournament and went very poorly. But those are the teams they need to play early on.
Well, they need maybe a happy medium.
Not every game, but they need a few of those sprinkled in.
Is that possible?
Yes, they'd have to go on the road.
So Kevin Saul could call up whoever the Duke athletic director
maybe
is.
Maybe not Duke, but I'm saying call Michigan State. Say we want to come to East Lansing.
How about call Oklahoma? How about call Iowa State? How about play some of these regional games?
Well, whatever.
You got pretty good teams in your own backyard, essentially, and that doesn't even have to include the Kansas teams.
Yeah, I'd like to see them play Iowa State.
Play Missouri.
They've just finished a series against.
They did,
Missouri.
But play them again.
They've done that, but they didn't do it this year. St. Louis in Kansas City. They beat them, but
play Texas A&M. I don't know who they can play. We probably just spouting off. Maybe these avenues are completely closed.
Well,
to
next time
Wichita
we get
State.
Kevin Saul, we'll ask him.
We will.
I know this non-conference schedule didn't do a whole lot for me.
No, it didn't excite anybody,
and it didn't help the team. Obviously,
no.
It gave them a false sense of security. In a pretty mediocre conference, they've got one win.
Yeah, it's upsetting. And it doesn't look like, you know, because of the way that they've played, you'd look at the schedule at the beginning of the year and say, yeah, you can probably win that game. But since their performance has been so bad, you look at the schedule and it's like, uh-oh, where are the wins? Are there many wins here? Because the team that they beat, Charlotte, I believe they still have to go on the road to play them.
Charlotte's terrible.
I know.
Yeah, don't give me Charlotte.
But I'm saying, are they going to beat Charlotte on the road?
I don't want to talk about Charlotte. I'm not in the mood right now, okay?
We're not really talking about Charlotte. We're talking about Wichita State's opportunities for more wins during the American Conference schedule.
The Shockers have Tulsa on the road Sunday. 2:00, they're going up against the NFL. Nobody will watch that game. It's in Tulsa. Nobody will be there for that game.
Chiefs are the late game, right?
Tulsa is a disaster. I'm going off today, man.
Well, I've been telling you this for a long time, that the conference is terrible. I've been saying that.
I've been telling you that.
No, I've said that long before you ever did.
I said that
many years. You said, well, there's pretty good. There's some teams.
It was really good when they joined.
There's some teams.
But the danger, and I wrote about this because I was still at the paper when all this happened, and I pushed for a change of conference as much or more than anyone. Wrote about it. I said, this can't continue. They can't continue to play in this Missouri Valley Conference because they've outgrown it. And they had.
They had.
And then they joined a conference that had UConn, Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis, Temple. Oh, it was glorious.
Felt good.
You remember that?
It was.
You remember the glory you felt?
It was a blink of the eye.
And then
remember that Cincinnati game at home? There were so many moments.
After a couple years, how long did they have UConn? 2 or 3 years. UConn departed for the Big East. And now you've got Houston and Cincinnati and Central Florida gone. And Memphis would love to get out. So would Tulane. So would South Florida. I mean, they'd all love to get out.
Sure.
Nobody's happy in this conference.
And it reflects. And it shows.
It showed in the faces of the Memphis fans last night.
They're not happy.
They weren't happy.
They shouldn't be happy. Last year, the conference was okay between Memphis, North Texas, UAB.
Well, give North Texas
Rice.
Some love. They're pretty good, and I appreciate what they do.
Yeah, North Texas is fine.
No, that's an old Valley school. Now, they were the doormat of the Valley back in the day. But North Texas, yeah, I have some love for North Texas.
Who doesn't?
Only have it because Don Henley went there.
Oh, he did? Wow.
For a minute. That's the only reason you care.
Interesting. Might be. That might be the only reason.
I care because North Texas came into Wichita State as a member of the Missouri Valley Conference when it was legitimately the Valley of Death.
Their football stadium's really cool.
Then they kind of went backward. But now they're okay. For this conference, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they could win this conference any given year.
Have you ever been to a game in Denton, Texas?
No. Just a concert.
A concert in Denton, Texas?
Yeah, I went with my friend Zach.
Who'd you see?
You don't want to know.
Zach, what's that?
Yeah, Zach Edey. Yeah, unfortunately.
You went to Denton, Texas to see that guy?
I went a lot of places to see him.
And you dragged along a friend?
Yeah, he loved it.
Where'd he play?
Some place, I don't
know. Denton Hideout?
The Bingo Hall, I think.
Oh, Mike. Do you still follow that career of Jason
I wouldn't
Edey?
Say I follow it, but I check in on him every couple months or so. See what he's...
Is he getting any bigger?
No, he's not. Still playing the same venues he's always played.
And happy to do it.
Must be.
I wonder how much money he makes in a year.
I don't know.
You think he gets to six figures?
No. There's probably a lot of travel expenses. Because he does go more places now. I will give him that.
Well, he must be making more.
Than $100,000?
Yeah, you got to, man. If you're going to do that.
Then he get maybe. I could see him getting $1,000 a gig, maybe. And he plays a bunch, so maybe.
I mean, he's got to make some money.
I'm sure he's doing as well as
he wouldn't be doing this if he wasn't.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, give the guy a little credit.
Good job, Jace.
So, anyway, Shocker basketball not grabbing us. Tulsa coming up Sunday. A home game next Wednesday against North Texas. Then back on the road to Charlotte and South Florida. That's your upcoming
schedule. See, those would be winnable games if you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season. You might count those.
They better beat Tulsa. All right, there is the end of our number one. We'll be back. Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine will be our guest coming up at about 6:25. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
too.
I was in the D club. I was popular with girls and boys.
Okay, this guy is a real zero. That's true.
Jeff Lutz.
Which means you weren't popular with either of them.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
In your head, that's the way it is. So, okay. You're so smart. I'll let it roll.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. It's Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Max Power, producing and engineering. All right, it's time to get to the NFL AFC and NFC championship games. Those are coming up Sunday. The early game is Washington, Philadelphia, and then, of course, the Chiefs at home to face Buffalo. I happened to be in front of the TV this morning when they were talking about the whole Buffalo thing, and some of the guys on Get Up feel like this is a moment for Josh Allen. And I just want to go to the studio where they are and tell them Patrick Mahomes will decide when it's the moment for Josh Allen. What do you think of that statement?
I don't know.
What do you think of
Josh
it?
Josh Allen is very, very good. And he can go into Arrowhead and win on Sunday. With Patrick Mahomes putting up as much resistance as he's ever put up. Josh Allen is, as far as talent and ability goes, not accomplishments, he's on equal footing with Patrick Mahomes. He's just as good of a quarterback.
Do you not understand what I'm talking about? Have you not watched the Chiefs over these past 7 years?
Yeah, I've watched the Chiefs.
Have you not seen them rise to the
occasion? What are you trying to say?
There's no chance.
Yes, there is.
I'm going to put my entire reputation on this one. I picked Kansas City to cover this game for 8.
Good.
You picked them for 7.
Sure did.
So why are you arguing with me?
Because I don't like stuff
why
like that.
Why didn't you go Kansas City for 1?
I don't like stuff like that.
Or
I don't
Buffalo for
I don't
3.
Like aura. I don't like he's got that
Kansas
something
City's
extra.
Gonna win.
Because they're probably going to win. They don't make mistakes. They have really good players. But would I be surprised if Josh Allen goes in and wins and leads the Bills to the Super Bowl? No, I will not be surprised by that.
Why'd you pick them for 7?
Because that's what I think is going to happen.
Well, you're acting like I'm off my rocker.
No, I just don't like the way you frame it. Oh, Patrick Mahomes will decide. No, he won't.
That was so
no,
good.
No, everybody on the field will
so
decide.
Good. I wish I'd been on.
They would have fired you immediately.
That.
We don't want that here.
I just think that in the heat of battle, and this game's going to be close, and I don't.
You think Josh Allen's going to crumble?
No,
he might
I don't think that. I don't think that. I think Kansas City will, as they've done numerous times, will find a way to win.
Okay. Probably so.
Remember the 15-second game?
13.
Whatever. I timed it. Do you remember the 13-second game?
Yes.
Never seen anything close to that.
It was amazing.
There's all kinds of things swirling through the heads of the Bills.
No, there aren't.
As they go into this.
No, there's not.
Why'd you pick them? Why'd you pick the Chiefs?
Because I think they're going to win, but you got all this voodoo stuff going on that it just doesn't exist. At least it doesn't exist in my world. It doesn't exist in my world of the better team wins, not the voodoo team.
Yeah, because you're boring. You want to just look at it black and white. You don't want to put anything into the soup.
True or false?
Here's what you would make. Honey, here's my stew. What do you got in it? Oh, I got a little meat and some potatoes.
Pretty good
Enjoy
stew.
Enjoy it.
I probably throw
Enjoy
carrots.
It. You know what I'm putting in my stew? I got turnips.
No.
You
wouldn't be caught dead eating a turnip.
I got corn.
Just answer this question.
Let me tell you
it's
about
an
my
easy,
stew first.
It's a binary question. You can pick one answer or the other. True or false? The team that plays better on Sunday will win. Come on.
Let me think about that for a minute. No.
Really, false.
Not necessarily.
Why?
Because of that stew.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't know what.
I got other stuff I need to do.
You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's
really?
Wrap.
You want to wrap it up?
Let's wrap this up. I got stuff I need to do. I got places.
What stuff? So you're just saying you want to shut me up.
No, but what? How do you argue against that? What's the argument? No, he doesn't have anything special. You just create these mythical.
I think Josh Allen is fantastic.
You only don't win until you do, right?
I think Joe Burrow's fantastic. I think Lamar Jackson is fantastic. They are so good. My stew, though.
What's your stew?
The stew I make.
I put carrots in my stew, and I bet Josh Allen does too. That was a good little rhyme that I had.
You know what I'm saying.
You think
I might
so?
Even toss in an onion. I mean, I got everything in
there. You hate
stew.
Onions.
Yeah, but for the stew.
I'd probably put tomatoes in there.
Maybe.
Not maybe chunky gonna, ones, but little.
You know, I got a new kitchen up there. I might look for a recipe for stew. And go after it.
You know what I need to find? A soup that doesn't have 2,000 milligrams of sodium. That's what I need to find. I'll check out some recipes. But the soups at the store are like 2,000
yeah.
or zero, and that they taste awful.
Yeah.
So I need something in the middle.
Well, go get some soup at Jason's Deli or...
I had soup there the other day.
Panera or
We went to Jason's the other day.
Get some soup there.
I did.
I'll tell you.
I'm sure it was pretty salty,
I go
too.
To the Artichoke, and I get their chili. Now, tonight, I'm taking my wife to an appointment out west, and I may try that Barnard's soup.
No, I think you should. Every time I go into Barnard, it's like, okay, well, they got the barbecue beef combo, which I love. They got the soup, which I've never tried, but it looks amazing. They've got the mac and cheese, which I think I tried once. Great. Like
How
everything.
Good is that barbecue sandwich?
It's the best.
And the bread.
It's right up there with Buck's Barbecue back in the day.
Buck's Barbecue?
Yeah.
I liked Racks. You remember that place?
Yeah, but that was just roast beef.
Yeah, but that was really good, though.
It wasn't Arby's. It's no Arby's.
Oh, it was better than Arby's.
Oh, please.
I love Arby's, but they're Racks.
You see a Racks anywhere in the nation anymore?
No.
That's because they got killed by Arby's.
No, they joined forces.
I don't think that's what happened.
But anyway, I just think the Chiefs at home, if this game was in Buffalo, and this is why it was so important for the Chiefs to get that bye, get the number one seed. Last year, they didn't need it. They did it without it.
But you still don't want to go through Buffalo and Baltimore.
No.
And Buffalo doesn't want to go through Baltimore and Kansas City. They got one of those taken care of. But that's not the path you want.
No.
You want Houston and then somebody.
And that's what they've got this year.
Right.
And I almost said the word destined. But it's not that simple. They're going to win their third consecutive Super Bowl.
I told you that 2 weeks ago. Jason said, I'll bet you any amount of money they don't. But he's already heard him on the show.
And I know Max seethes.
E-S.
I know he sees when I say things like this. And listen,
he's seething.
Tom Brady is still the greatest quarterback ever. But
no, you don't.
When Mahomes wins his third straight, it's kind of all bets are off.
He's still three behind. Isn't that crazy? He's still got three to go.
It is crazy. But
that's how many Super Bowls Brady won.
He's doing this in an era where the AFC is strong because it has three other quarterbacks who will long be remembered.
Brady had one. Was there any other great quarterback in the AFC during his...
Well, it was him and Peyton.
Right. There wasn't really...
Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
May I interject,
NFC
Bob?
NFC had Brees and Rodgers.
What's that?
The Patriots went into Pittsburgh, who was 16-1, and beat them at home in 2004.
The Chiefs are doing things like that now, and
Josh Allen,
as much as you don't want to
Josh Allen will do the same
like
thing.
That's the way it is.
Chad Pennington wasn't bad.
You can't You can't take the three Super Bowls away from Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to win more.
Chad Pennington wasn't bad reality. Back in the day. I can't think of the other quarterback.
Nah, he wasn't in this class.
Well, he was brittle, but he wasn't bad.
He's okay. He's not. Nobody will remember Chad Pennington. Everyone will remember Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
Will you?
And Joe Burrow. Everybody. They'll be ranked. They are ranked amongst the top 25 quarterbacks of all time.
Their first ballot Hall of Fame players.
Right. All of them.
If they have ballots in the NFL. Not sure they do.
I'm already putting them in the top 25, and I haven't. That's without even looking at things.
I don't think that's that controversial.
I don't think it is.
They're all great.
That's what makes what Mahomes is doing
great,
even more special. And what he's doing is he's going to win Sunday, and then he's going to win on Super Bowl Sunday.
Are they going to be playing the Eagles or the Commanders?
We'll get to that game. You want to get to it now?
Because it's going
to
be the Commanders.
It's going to be the Eagles. But
is Jalen Hurts healthy?
The Commanders are beginning a run where they'll be in this position many times.
I think they're already better than the Eagles.
They may be, but I think the Eagles being at home, being at home is a big deal.
But those fans in Philadelphia can turn on you fast.
Washington. Everybody picked Washington except for me. And that's the way it is.
Fans in Philly, if you get down 10-0 and they turn on you, is that so much of a home field advantage anymore?
We'll see. I'm not discounting Washington's chances. I'm simply telling you that I think Philadelphia with Saquon Barkley. I think Jalen Hurts is an unknown, although he's certainly capable. He's been to a Super Bowl.
He's capable of being mid.
Oh, brother.
As the kids say.
That's so bad. So wrong.
What?
You're wrong about him.
No, I'm not. He's average.
He's hurt.
Well, that makes him average.
He has the ability to be very good.
I don't think it's in there right now.
And they have really good receivers, a good defense. You got to worry about their offensive line to some degree because he got beaten up last week. But I like Washington.
I think Philadelphia is done. I think Philadelphia.
Well, now you get on me when I make dumb
statements.
Yeah,
but I think they're broken. I think their quarterback's broken, and I think they're done. And I think Washington has ascended, and that's the team now in the NFC.
They're not quite there.
They took it from Philly.
They haven't yet.
Yeah, they
Next
have.
Next year, I think they will.
No,
how much extra you want to put on it?
What do you want to put on it?
I'll go 100,000.
I don't have that.
I'll go 50,000.
I don't have that either.
20.
Don't have it.
10.
Don't have it.
5.
Maybe.
5?
I might have 5,000.
You want to put $5,000 on it?
No, I do not.
1,000.
I'll put $25 on it.
All right. Win or
legit.
Lose.
Legit.
Win or lose.
And I will pay you if I lose.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will. And you must pay me.
All right.
How about...
straight up.
How about pizza for the Rumble? That's what we're betting.
Straight up.
I'll buy the pizza for the Rumble. If
fine,
the Eagles win,
fine.
You buy it if the Commanders win.
Oh, are the Griffiths going to get involved in this at all?
I don't know. I'm sure. Nobody wants to miss the Rumble. And drawing numbers in the ladder match.
Yeah, well, that Adam Schefter reporting that Jalen Hurts is off the injury report, good to go. Sunday's game.
Nice posturing there by the Eagles.
Good to
nice,
go.
Nice little smoke screen we've thrown up.
Why do you not like the Eagles?
It's not that I don't like the Eagles. I just think we've had a shift. They beat Detroit. Now they're going to beat Philly. And this isn't a two-year, like, little, okay, well, we saw what they could be. Now they're going to be it. They're it right now.
So what's your thoughts now on the AFC West? With Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Pete Carroll.
It's pretty.
Now coming to Las Vegas.
That's about as good as you can
Has
get.
Has there ever been a more star-studded coaching group in a conference?
Unlikely.
Division?
Unlikely. I'd have to really delve into some research on that, but I can't imagine one. That's you only have, you have five Super Bowls. That's pretty legit. Jim Harbaugh doesn't have any, but he went to one.
Well, the other guys have one each.
Right, but that's still one.
Andy Reid's carrying that water.
I understand that.
When you say they have five Andy Reid could go to any division.
Not necessarily.
And they'd have a good number.
At least three. But who else?
Well, I don't know. It's not my job to think about
that. How many Super Bowl winning coaches are outside the NFC West right now?
Well, I don't know that. I don't have the answer to that. That's not in my job definition.
Well, we're going to find out.
If you think it's in yours, then you should do it. Well, does Mike Tomlin have one?
Of course.
He might be the...
Actively employed in the NFL.
Actively employed
Sean
in the
McVay.
NFL. He has one. Sirianni
Doug
has
Peterson
one.
Was fired.
Does Sirianni have one? He got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were Doug Peterson when they won, and he is not employed.
That's right.
Bill Belichick is not employed. John Harbaugh, of course. Mike McCarthy is not employed. And that's it.
What about our Shanahan in San Francisco? They
didn't win.
No?
So those are it. Outside of the AFC West, it is Tomlin, John Harbaugh, and Sean McVay. So you have three Super Bowl winning coaches in the AFC West, three outside of the AFC West. That's pretty crazy.
If Pete Carroll wasn't so dang old, this would be exciting. Does he still have it?
All you got to do is get the franchise on the right path. And
are they going to give him the resources?
I don't know. They got Tom Brady.
Now we got our guy.
Tom Brady does not want to be embarrassed.
I
don't think he'll allow himself to be embarrassed.
I hope they get it going. Speaking of Tom Brady, this has nothing to do with Tom Brady, but for some reason it triggered. I was watching an interview earlier today, Studio 42, they do on the MLB Network, Bob Costas talking to Reggie Jackson. Captivating. Never seen it before. It's not new. I think it's a
That is not
bit.
Speaking of Tom Brady at all. I agree.
It has nothing to do with Tom Brady. I don't know why I thought about it, but Reggie Jackson was just talking about his career, and the most interesting part of the whole thing was his time with the Yankees and Billy Martin.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
That whole team, the Bronx Zoo, and, of course, they were the ringleaders of it, but that was a dysfunctional group that won a lot.
They showed a moment where Jim Rice had a check swing and a ball got into right field, and Reggie didn't really go hard after it. I kind of lumbered after it. And Billy Martin took him out of the game.
Got in his face.
No, he took him out of the game.
And then probably got in his face.
He sent Paul Blair out there. Can you imagine that happening today to a superstar player? Can you imagine any manager in today's baseball?
Didn't, like, Ronald Acuna get taken out of a game or somebody? Maybe I felt like it was somebody with the Braves.
Somebody who didn't hustle the first. May have been taken out, but not pulled off the field.
No, that doesn't really happen.
You may say, well, you're out now. Go rest. You're not going back to right field. You may do that, but you don't. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And that's when they got into it in the dugout.
Yeah.
And all the people that they showed in the dugout, you had Elston Howard in between them. You had Yogi Berra trying to separate them. There were several other players.
Yogi wasn't playing at
no,
that.
No, he was a coach. He was a coach.
Yeah.
Was a player. I didn't say he was a player.
Elston wasn't playing then either,
was
he?
He was a coach.
Okay, well, you said several other players.
Yeah, several other players. I view the players and coaches.
As players?
Coaches can play. They did play.
Elston and Yogi were great.
But they were
Elston,
in
a Hall of Fame case, maybe.
And then Reggie talked about the next morning he met with the general manager of the Yankees, whose name escapes me, which is terrible, but and the owner, George Steinbrenner.
Right.
I don't think Steinbrenner was at the meeting. It was just the general manager. And Billy challenged him to a fight in the general manager's suite.
Billy's Billy.
Unbelievable.
True to himself, anyway, authentic man.
I was captivated by that interview, which I had never heard for some reason. All right, Max, let's get a break. We've got Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine. She will join the show next as we talk about mid-season basketball tournaments.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
There is simply no one on the planet who doesn't like this song. From Tommy Two Tone, 867-5309, Jenny.
I got it.
When I was younger, I called that number randomly. You won't believe this, but Jenny answered.
Oh, wow.
Here's Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine. Hello, Joanna.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just am a little bit flummoxed by that really bad joke. I mean, like, where do we go from here?
That was really bad, but that's
okay. I spend my life flummoxed on this show if we're talking bad jokes.
I'll throw them out there, and if whatever, I'll do whatever it takes. You know what I mean?
I get you.
So we were talking earlier in the show. We've got a situation at the Dodge City Tournament of Champions, Derby, Junction City, Heights, Kansas City Piper, four unbeaten teams in the semifinals. That tournament's been around for a long, long, long time. My guess is that we've never had four unbeaten teams in the semis. Is there any research in that, Joanna?
Yeah, I certainly have not looked that up. But you are correct that it has been around a long time, since 1944. And I think they said they're hitting their 1,000th tournament game this year. So that's pretty awesome. But to have four unbeaten teams in the semis is absolutely incredible. And there are four really talented teams. Casey Piper and Wichita Heights is a heck of a matchup. And I mean, they match up really, really well with what they can do physically, with what they do. Just their individual players, really strongly skilled and athletic. They're a lot of fun to watch. And certainly when it comes to Derby, we've seen a lot of what they've been able to do, and I have not seen Junction City yet, but I know that it's going to be a tough one. We faced them before down here, and always a tough team.
Who are the odds-on favorites to advance to the championship game, in your opinion? I think everybody would like to see Derby Heights, and no reason to think that won't happen, but how tough are these?
We could still see them in the third-place game.
Yeah, but nobody wants that.
Yeah, if there's, I would say a third place tournament game is worse than a third place state championship state tournament game. But you know, that can be a discussion for another day. I don't know. I mean, I think it's, I'm probably going to go ahead and pick Derby to win that game. But I am also picking them based on the fact that I just don't know much about Junction City. And I think that Piper and Heights are pretty evenly matched. I do think that Heights, I don't know, they're just all of those seniors that they have on their team, you know, that they are total buy-in to the program. They're very highly skilled. They're very well coached. I always will give that edge to a team who comes in like that.
Joanna Chadwick with us from Vibe Magazine. I got a lot of questions for you today for some reason, but one is we recently learned that Joe Auer announced that this would be his last year as a boys basketball coach at Heights. He's leaving because of the bridge situation and the compensation. It's beyond my level of understanding. But my overall point on it is, and I know he's not the first USD 259 teacher or even teachers everywhere to make this kind of a decision, but it sounds to me from talking to Joe like he'd kind of like to stay at Heights, but it's really not financially tenable to do that. How can we have this system in place that takes someone like Joe Auer, who is such a positive leader and impactful for so many young men, and we kind of just force them out? It upsets me for some reason.
Well, I think it's a system that is odd to me. It's a system that, you know, when you've got the good ones, I don't know if these are put in place in order to force people to retire, to force them to move on when they get to a certain age. I don't know the history of why these laws and rules are put into place, but it absolutely does seem silly. You know, Joe has done a lot of incredible things. He has, you know, I've watched him over these years. We all have, but I've seen it a little bit more up close with Brian, having coached with him for so long. Just the effect that he has and the support that he gives these kids and just the lessons that are taught. And he's a hard man, you know, I mean, like he's no pushover as a coach. And I appreciate that in him. And I know that those players have them as well. But it makes me really sad when we see someone who's gone soon for reasons that could be, you know, seem that they could be figured out and dealt with.
Yeah, we got some potential good games. I think McPherson plays Shawnee Mission East. That's pretty interesting. You have Capen and Collegiate who could meet in the finals in El Dorado. What do you have your eye on? I know that's a very broad question, but there are just so many games and teams are scattered out everywhere. Who has your attention?
Well, obviously, Dodge City has the attention simply because of those 4-0 teams, and I think that that's an obvious one. But I think any time that McPherson can be challenged in a championship game, that's good for the fans because that place should be rocking. I imagine it already is, and I personally would love to be out there for that just to see just – I love the Roundhouse. Being at McPherson is one of those great places to be. You know, we've got, I don't know the tournaments off the top of my head. And of course, I'm nowhere near my computer. But, you know, it's one of those things that it becomes this time of year. It's rare that we're going to get something where we could have a matchup like a Derby Heights because so many of these teams are scattered around. And so they're facing teams that we don't know as well. Take, for instance, that Valley Center tournament where last night Northwest came back with like a 27-point fourth quarter, and then they ended up losing by 4. That's a tough loss. Northwest is in kind of a tough run right now. But you're also seeing teams, you know, they play Blue Valley, you're seeing teams that you don't normally see. I think that's a really, really good thing for as you prepare for the postseason, as we get through the midseason point and into that grind of the second half of the season. And I don't have any picks as to who's going to come out of there, but I mean, the tournaments that I'm always watching, it would be Halstead, certainly El Dorado. I'd love to see Capen and Collegiate match up. Always a good one out there. And they've got a nice little Roundhouse gym as well.
Talking with Joanna Chadwick from Byte Magazine. She has been involved in high school coverage for a long time, including many years at the Wichita Eagle, where the daily coverage of high school athletics was second to none. The daily coverage of high school athletics, as we've talked about on this show a lot, has dissipated. I wouldn't say disappeared, but it's certainly dissipated. Joanna, is there anything that can be done to improve the coverage of high school athletics? Because every time you're on Friday, especially when it's basketball season, it's really hard to find information. It's really hard to find scores and updates and leading scores and things that are so vital to the coverage of high school sports that for many years we were under the impression if they didn't carry a newspaper sports department, they certainly supported that effort in a big way. As you know, I'm upset over this. I have been since we started to see the decline of coverage. Are we just stuck with this? Is this forever and ever?
I don't know. I look at where the coverage is, and it's interesting because Joe Auer and I were talking about this last night, is there's these smaller websites, like recruiting-type websites, and what they do is they basically will grab kids, and then they will highlight them. Maybe they're writing 150 words or something about them. And then those kids post on social media and everyone raves, thank you for posting about me. Thank you for recognizing. Look, I'm a mom. I get it. And when that happened to my kids, I'm very, very proud of them. But that's where we're at, is we're at a place where people will pay coverage to their child. But, as you were talking, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't it be great if we had some sort of a subscription service where we could highlight these stories, but people only want stories about people that they care about. And unfortunately, when you're a fan like we are, and you're a fan of all high school sports, and you won't watch the kids who are going on to college, the kids who may never go on to college but are so much fun to watch, and unfortunately, we just don't have the coverage of that. Unless people are willing to pay for it, it's not going to happen. And I don't think people are willing to pay for it.
Not the answer I was hoping for, but probably the answer I expected. Thank you, Joanna. We always appreciate your time. Are you headed for Dodge City? Are you there already? What's your situation?
I'm here already. I came down last night and saw the last two games of the night last night. My mom was already down here for the first game yesterday. She's a diehard in the stands, so... Yeah, it's a fun place to be, I'll tell you that. It's not like the old Civic Center, though, I'm telling you. Yeah, I'll never forget
those
games.
Haven't,
those were my favorite.
Yeah, those were fun.
I know you didn't partake, but what do they have in the hospitality room today?
Of course I partook. nobody else in the world will care but the three of us. However,
right.
They gave me a ticket, and I went in, and I had a salad. And they said, okay, well, you can't come back in. And I looked at her, I said, but it's like 2:30. Games go until like 9 o'clock tonight. And she's like, yep, you can't come back in.
What?
Why can't you come back in?
Because they let you come in one time. Yes.
Wow.
I know.
Everybody's again, cutting like back the these days.
I know.
That's interesting.
I know.
All right, Joanna, thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
See ya, Joanna Chadwick. Byte Magazine, as we talk about high school basketball, the best we can, given the limited access to information that exists.
We're doing the best we can. You're right.
Used to know it like the back of my hand.
Yeah, and it still hasn't changed. Like, everything, the games are played Tuesdays and Fridays, the bands show up, kids get recruited. Everything is the same, except we can't find much information about it.
Now, I think Keisha covered. I think they do a decent job. I got to get more in tune with them because they have several people, four people who are covering high school sports. The problem is they got to try to spread the love.
Right. They're covering an entire region of the
state. They're going to write about a debate tournament. And I'm sorry. All I care about is basketball.
Do they write about debate?
Yeah. Like Frontenac. Has a great debate squad.
Good for them.
If you'd read that, you'd know.
Oh, my apologies.
what else do we have coming up? We've talked about KU Houston. We've talked about the two games in the National Football League.
Bless you.
Take over
when you know I'm sneezing.
Well, I didn't know you were going to sneeze again. Well,
follow
get it,
me.
Get it together.
Follow me.
Have you ever heard Dan Patrick sneeze on the air?
I don't have a sneeze button here.
That's true. You could turn your mic off.
This mic doesn't turn on.
That's weird.
Look at that mic. That thing was used by Rick Weaver back when he did Wichita State basketball games.
It's got a little wear and tear on it. Mine's pretty
back
pristine.
Back in the 60s. You ever heard of Rick Weaver?
Of course. Put it in the deep freeze.
No,
I know that wasn't
Gus
him.
Freeby.
But didn't Rick Weaver have a phrase?
Yeah, he did. What do you think it was?
Something that rhymed.
This is Weaver in your receiver.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And he was great.
I believe
it. He was very early on in my childhood. But what a voice. And he later went on to be the voice of the Miami Dolphins.
It's a big deal.
Did you know that?
No, I don't think I did.
Does that mean anything to people?
I think it means something. That's a pretty good bit of information and trivia.
So tomorrow you've got some pretty good college basketball at the top of the list is KU and Houston. You've got Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt not ranked, but they've had some big wins. Any interest?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Georgia at Florida.
It's a good one.
Georgia's won some big games.
Georgia's pretty good.
Yeah, but they're not ranked, which is odd.
They were, I think, at one point.
They're not now. That's kind of odd. Here's a good one. Wake Forest is really hot, and I love their coach, Steve Forbes, who was here at Wichita State for a few years under Greg Marshall. They're at home against Duke, and they've won 7 or 8 in a row. And just out of the blue a couple weeks ago, Forbes texted me. He's such a down-to-earth guy.
Texted you?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, he's a friend of mine.
What did he say?
You're going to ask me?
I mean, I don't get any Division I coaching love. No one like that texts me. Ron Baker, but it's not quite the same.
Well, there's mitigating circumstances to you and Baker. What was it? He texted me a video of a coach who went off on some fans.
Huh.
And relayed a story that he'd done something similar one night as an assistant coach at Barton County when they were playing a game at Butler Community College.
Well, all bets are off in the JUCO ranks. Crazy stuff can happen.
But that, you know, he goes back to being the coach at Barton Community College, and he's worked his way up, and he's paid his dues, and he got here and then took that job and went to East Tennessee State and did a good job there, and parlayed that into the head coach at Wake Forest. And while they haven't maybe accomplished what he'd hoped yet, here they are with a key game tomorrow against Duke.
They still believe in him up at Wake Forest, over at Wake Forest.
Well, they've had good years. They just haven't broken through.
Yeah, they'll break through.
In that,
tell Steve I said that. Maybe give him my number.
Why does it matter to you?
That's so funny.
Well, no, why does it matter to you?
It doesn't.
Well, then why do you act like it does?
Because it's easy to get you.
No, I'm not gotten.
You got.
No.
You so...
Steve Forbes would not text you in a million years.
That's too bad. I think we could have some fun exchanges.
Doesn't know you exist, I don't think. I mean, he's been on our show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And I think he's one of those guests who called you Bob.
It might have been. But I bet if you said the name Jeff Lutz to him, I bet something there.
Yeah, is he any relation to Bob?
He wouldn't be totally in the dark.
That's what he'd say.
All right, fine. There are some people out there who don't know you exist. What do you think about that?
Well, of course there are.
Just keep that in mind.
Give me an example. What brought that up?
I don't know. See?
Why are you so easy to... Who are you thinking of?
Nobody. I'm just saying there are people out there.
Did you bring up my name to somebody?
No.
And they said, I'm sorry, I don't know him.
No. That did not happen.
Well, then how do you know that?
I'm just saying there's probably somebody out there.
Well, there's many out there.
In this vast world.
Why would you feel the need to mention it?
But it's crazy because not only do they not know you exist, they don't know that you exist.
Well, of course, there's millions and billions of people in the world who don't know I'm around.
Like, I can't think of somebody and not know they exist, because then I
see at Auburn, that's the probably the biggest game of the night tomorrow. Late start.
So we have two really, really marquee games and then several good games.
Yeah, there's always good games. You look for those games that you don't feel like you can miss. Ole Miss visiting Missouri, that's interesting. Two ranked teams. Ole Miss coming off a loss.
Missouri playing really well.
Missouri's ranked 22. And then K-State at home against West Virginia. And K-State's got to get a win along the road here somewhere.
I agree.
West Virginia is not going to be an easy team to beat.
No, they've already come into the state and won a game. And they got a really good coach.
Yes, they do. They made a great hire.
One of the best.
So, yeah, there you go. That's a little glimpse into what tomorrow looks like in college basketball. Shockers, again, in action next Sunday afternoon in a game. You're going up against the NFL. You got two teams that are not very good. You got Tulsa, where I don't even think they know they have a college basketball team. It's gonna be.
Who's their coach these days?
The same guy. Can't think of his name, but when you lose P.J. Haggerty, you go get him, and you're thinking, well, if I could keep him around for a while, but you can't keep anybody around for a while.
No, it's Eric
Tulsa
Kunkel.
Tulsa gets a good player. They're there for 1 year.
Well, that's pretty true of a lot of programs at this
Not
level.
Not necessarily. If you get a good player at Wichita State.
You think Corey Washington's coming back next year?
I don't know. Given the fact that almost everybody from this roster will be gone, I'd say probably not.
Yeah.
But
that's
not
good.
If the Shockers got a guy as a sophomore and they were packing Coke Arena and they were winning, of course they could keep
you. You'd like to think so.
Tulsa can't.
I don't know. It's tough.
You been to a game at Tulsa?
Yeah.
During the
Van Vliet years, they almost lost that game. Did they lose that game?
I used to cover all the games at Tulsa.
Did they lose at Tulsa that 1 year?
They may have lost. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't have a photographic memory.
That's true.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back Monday. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the basketball. And we'll see you then.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.